Hello, everyone. This is Ellen Rogan, your host of today's edition of Horse's Mouth Advisor Radio. I am here to interview guests who have great information to help you be more successful in every area of your life, especially your business. Today, my guest is Sean Duperrin, and I am so excited to have Sean here. We met last fall at a conference where we both spoke, and she was dynamite. The audience just absolutely loved her. She's an amazing resource for us for marketing, PR, networking, media training. We're going to cover a bunch of topics today. Before we get started, I just want to give you a little bit about Sean's background. She's a six-time Emmy Award-winning media coach and has been in the TV business for nearly 20 years. She's taught thousands how to communicate as leaders while networking and marketing in social and traditional media. Sean works with corporations, entrepreneurs, universities, and government agencies across the globe. She's collaborated with many best-selling authors and has replaced Bill Ford of Ford Motor Company when she spoke at the Department of Defense and even lectures on cruise ships. She's interviewed many U.S. presidents and has filmed hundreds of celebrities. You may have seen her on national networks such as CNN, CBS's Early Show, and seen her feature in Inc. magazine and USA Today. One of her personal passions is the work that she does with multicultural groups to help delete media stereotypes through communication leadership. And she spearheaded the movement on global forgiveness with an effort called Project Forgive. It's a little five-minute video that went viral on YouTube, without YouTube. Sean is currently a PhD candidate creating leading-edge research on relationships between mass media and, ready for this, gossip. Yes, gossip. She says knowing how to create and navigate communication skills as a leader is the secret to unlimited marketing and personal power. Sean, welcome. I'm so glad to have you here.
Well, I'm so tickled to be here, Ellen. I want to know that woman you just talked about.
She's pretty awesome. Yeah, she's great. I'm so excited about our conversation today because I know you have so much information that will be so helpful to the advisors listening in.
But Can I brag on you? Can I?
Sure.
You know, because you did mention that we met at a conference, and I think it was in Indiana. Where did we meet?
Yeah, we were in Maryville.
Yeah. And you talked about, like, you just so gravitated toward me. I had the exact reaction to you. Your no-nonsense, clean way of approaching money, and you talked about it so powerfully. You know, I knew we were going to be friends for life. So I just want to say that attraction was very mutual,
very mutual with you. You are so sweet, Sean. Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So I have a bunch of questions for you, but before we dive in, your background is so incredibly diverse. Can you tell us a little bit more about you and how the heck that you do all this and how you got into all the things that you're involved in?
Oh, how about I'll give it to you in a nutshell, all that.
Okay.
All right, I worked in news for a long time. My background is working at ABC, NBC. I pretty much worked in news for about 11 years. I've been in TV and film for a good 20. And I went into the speaking realm because what I saw is I saw these people would call up with these amazing stories, like business owners, financial planners too, would call up with these amazing stories, and they'd never make it on the air. And the reason they wouldn't make it on the air is because they didn't know how to pitch. And think about it this way. If you call up the newsroom and you want to pitch a story maybe about budgeting for school clothes, okay, if you're very, very nervous on the phone and your phone shakes and you don't know how to do it, you are never going to make it past the phone call, because if you're nervous on the phone, you are certainly going to be nervous on camera. So it really became a passion of mine to show people how to do this because it's really, really easy. It's very easy to do when you know how to do it.
Oh, great. Good. So I know that you like to create a distinction for advisors on the difference between paid advertising and free publicity. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, because a lot of times a financial advisor thinks it's all about getting a paid ad. And everything that I teach, there's value to paid advertisement, hands down. There's great value to it, especially postcards are actually a really good thing to be doing right now if that's one of the spokes of your marketing. And where I go with these interviews, with working with the media, is free publicity. There's no money exchanged. This is about creating relationships with reporters, producers, anchors, influential bloggers, influential folks in print, to give them information that helps feed their viewership. So you're making a difference for audiences, and you're doing it through the media by giving valuable, valuable information that people want. And it really is free. There's a time investment, obviously, and it's a conversation of free, really.
Now, isn't it also, in terms of the impact, I mean, I think that people, I know for myself, when I read something in print, I assume it has a little bit more credibility. Isn't there like an implied testimonial, if you will, behind having someone on TV or in a print, in an article quoted?
Absolutely. You know, there's lots of research on this. It depends on, like, if I were a financial advisor, I would be very focused on getting in my local newspaper, because the demographics show the primary folks that are reading newspapers are between 55 and 60-year-old white male with high disposable incomes. I mean, there's demographics to where folks are. Now, if you are a financial advisor and you want to really reach that women power demographic, you know, studies say up to, gosh, 94% of what's purchased in homes comes from the wife or the mother, then I'd be going on TV at specific channels and actually generating it through Facebook, leveraging it through Facebook, because the demographic of women are on Facebook. So if they miss it on TV, they're going to get it, you know, on Facebook. And here's the thing, too, though. An advertisement, this is what the recent stats say. One advertisement, lays in the Detroit, Michigan area, where I'm from, is worth about $6,500, okay? When you get in the news media, you triple it. The stats actually triple, because one story that's going to air on the 5 o'clock news, it's going to also air on the 5:30 and the 6. It's going to air at the 11. It's going to air the following morning in the early morning show, and it's going to air at the 9 a.m. show, and then it's going to air on the noon, because all businesses want to get the biggest bang for their buck. And TV newsrooms in particular, they want to get the biggest bang for their buck, too. So when they come interview you about budgeting or how to get through your tag, you know, what are some neat things about taxes that can help you as you're planning financially, you're going to make it on all these newscasts.
That's great. I know when I first started my career, I wrote for the local paper here every month for years, and it brought notoriety to me and direct business. And the funny thing now is I haven't written for them in probably 5 or 6 years, and I'll still have people coming up to me saying, oh, I read your articles all the time.
Yeah.
So it was incredibly influential.
Yeah.
And you know, I didn't have to pay for it. I didn't get paid, but boy, did I get great PR from that.
Oh, for sure. And I write an article right now for the Detroit News and the Detroit Free Press. Oh, my gosh, the leverage with that is just, there's no words for it. There's no words for it. And I'm even incorporating it now into my blog. My actual article that comes out goes right into my blog now. It's everything can be leveraged in very, very powerful ways to create that energy around you, that gossip or that word of mouth. Because people do business with people they like, especially when it comes to money. Money is a tough one, Ellen. You know this. We have so much, like if I meet you at a networking event, I've got all my junk around money, all my shame, upset, what I've done right, what I haven't done right. Am I a spender? Am I a saver? I've got all my stuff about money that gets in between me working with someone that I might meet as a potential financial advisor. And when you can clear that out and clean that out and offer really cool advice as an authority in the media, you actually break down those barriers that people really start to trust you. And the game is you have to be trustworthy.
Right.
You have to be that. That's who you are authentically. And so if you're not authentically and honest, kind, really committed to helping people break through around money issues, you're not going to attract people anyway, whether it's in the media or not, right?
I just want to add here for any of the advisors listening that in the back of their mind saying, yeah, but my compliance department is so difficult around social media or writing articles, I would just say that put that aside. Of course you will deal with them, but it's not as hard as you think. And at least my experience has been that most of the time they really want to help you grow your business. It might not feel like that. So please don't use that as an excuse for any of the advice that Sean's giving us, which is awesome advice about getting your name out there. Your compliance department will be happy to work with you. You just have to have a conversation with them about how to navigate, whether it's traditional media or social media.
Yeah, and great point, Ellen, and it's very, very, very simple. The advice you're giving is very, very simple. It's kind of ironic that people are craving simple advice. from how to budget to get to for your taxes for an entire year. There, you know, it might not be your expertise, you listening right this second, but you might have expertise around that. And there might be some more generic information that people are craving that you could provide that would not, you know, put you subjective to having issues with law and, you know, all those issues that pop up.
Exactly. Yeah. Good. So in your bio, I mentioned that you're getting a PhD, or you have a PhD in gossip. What's the link with all this?
Yeah, you know, it's so funny. It is the most challenging and the most exciting thing I've ever done. And I am almost done with my PhD. God, get me through this. That's my prayer and mantra, because it certainly has been a journey. And really what I look at is I look at good gossip or word of mouth, because most people think that gossip is mean and nasty and malicious, right? When you hear gossip, you think mean and nasty, right, Ellen?
Right. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And research resoundingly shows that that mean, nasty stuff is only about 5 to 7%. We're actually really good people. And the word gossip comes from the word gossip, meaning close to God. How cool is that? And what would happen, like in the 9th, 10th, 11th centuries, the doulas would deliver babies and spread the precious news that a precious child of God was born. The reason for sharing this is that gossip or word of mouth is the best kind of advertising that exists on the planet. And a momentum gets built around gossip or word of mouth around you as a financial advisor that has people flock to you. And we did use these concepts of gossip research, because that's my expertise, to have this movie that we did. We did a 5-minute video. We're making a movie right now. And we made this video go viral without YouTube, utilizing powerful, authentic marketing, emotional tidbits that really tap into people's authentic selves, both spiritually, emotionally, and intellectually. And, I mean, it's been miraculous what we've been creating through this realm of making things go viral.
Yeah, most advisors I know like to grow their business, or they do grow their business through referrals. And really, with your definition of gossip, I mean, that's so ideal to have people talking well about you behind your back, right? And to help us build our business, it makes so much sense.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what a referral is, a resounding exclamation that this person rocks. You can work with them. You can trust him.
Right.
That is the epitome of good gossip.
Great, great. So what do you think we're missing when it comes to working with the media?
You know, besides high levels of discomfort, because a lot of times when people connect with the media, you're weird, okay? You've got all this weird, you got this discomfort going on because we got fear of the media, right? We got the fear going on. And if we don't know how to do it, we sound really strange, and then the media avoid us like the plague. So it's kind of like a one-shot deal. You don't just call up and all of a sudden just wing it and try to get it on, to get coverage, because they'll remember you. It's a very, very small network. So the biggest thing to remember is that the biggest mistake, too, is that financial advisors tend to think it's all about them. They've got a new book. They're opening up a new building. There's a certain way you need to do your money. That's not how it works. It's like dating. Like let's say you go out with the hot girl. Can I go this route here with you, Ellen?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Let's say you're going on a hot date with the gal at the restaurant, and if all you do is talk about how amazing you are and the book that you wrote and all your tips and advice, you are not going on a second date, right? That's simply how the media works as well. Media are relationships. It's not something to get in and get out and get over with. It's long-term, deep relationships. So the media can keep coming back to you over and over and over and over again as a beautiful resource in an exquisite relationship. And how you start is you start by piggybacking, and that's a big term we use in media. You piggyback off the stories that people are currently talking about right now. And you offer advice as an offering to the media, as, you know, you might be doing a story on taxes right now. We're approaching tax season or just getting through tax season. We might be doing a story on taxes. I got 3 tips that will deeply help people lower stress in getting ready for these deadlines when they're looking at these numbers. That would be a story that the newsroom would be considering right now or in that tax frame time zone. Another great one is, gosh, we're in spring cleaning with spring cleaning your finances. you know, I got three tips to sprinkle. Let's even just focus on your computer and getting your budget in order. Here's three things you can do to make it so fast and efficient for you as you work with your financial advisor. The mistake that a lot of – can I keep going for a second?
Yeah,
I'm talking
please,
too much. Okay.
Great.
So, like, one of the mistakes that could happen is you want to give them all this advice – and really, they just want three easy things. And then you think, oh, it's got to be me they got to hire. Just think for a second if you're a photographer and you're pitching how to take great wedding pictures. Like, let's say you can't hire a photographer. You don't have the money, so you're taking your own personal wedding photos. When you go on the news as a professional saying, okay, you don't have any money, you're doing it on a budget, you're taking your own photos, here are the seven photos you must get. When you give those folks templates about what you're doing, maybe the ones that are going to use your tips won't hire you, and other folks that hire photographers are watching you and your generosity and your expertise and your skill set in showing people. That's what inspires people to want to work with people, is when you give information, your knowledge, that really makes a difference. Aren't you personally inspired when you see that?
Oh, yeah. Just so you know, I'm taking so many notes on new article ideas. Just
oh, good.
Thank you, Sean.
You're welcome.
And it also reminded me, when you were talking about developing the relationships with the media, it's just like when we're developing relationships with what we call centers of influence. These are attorneys or accountants that have lots of opportunity to refer to us.
Yeah.
It's not a one and done, right? If we want them to be referral sources for years and years, then we have to really build that relationship. And what I'm hearing you say is it's pretty much the same with working with the media. There's really no difference.
There is no difference, zero difference. And most people don't know that, Ellen. That's the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's so funny, when you start creating relationships with media, these people become your dear friends. Mm-hmm. And then someone's like, oh, my gosh, I see this guy on TV. He's a jerk. Well, don't pursue the jerk. Ew. There's always a jerk, right? Don't pursue that one. Yuck. I don't pursue jerks in the media or to buy my car or to get my financial advisor or even to pursue a husband. I don't pursue jerks, right?
So tell me – tell us a little bit, when we're romancing the media or creating these deep relationships, how do we even get started?
All right, here's a good one. Like, this is like a no-brainer. When you call the newsroom and you have a story to pitch that day, the first thing that comes out of your mouth when someone answers the phone live is you ask them for permission to talk. It's not a bowing down. It's not an arrogance. It's really letting them know that you're taking the L off your forehead, which is loser, okay? Newsrooms are really, really busy. The phone rings constantly. And so many people call the newsroom with very odd requests that don't know what they're doing. When someone calls up and the first thing that comes out of their mouth and they say, do you have a quick second for a story pitch? My ears burn. I turn to them and I say, yeah, what do you got? Because I want stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I want people that know what they're doing to give me stories. So that is one of the most significant things you can do. And what I would tell financial folks who are listening, make this a game to do it once every 2 weeks. Pick a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. Newsrooms love stats. On Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, national stats come out all the time. In USA Today, or, you know, I don't know if you have a Canadian following, in the CBC, all kinds of studies come out on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And newsrooms love to piggyback off those stats. So maybe let's look at an obesity one. New study comes out today in USA Today that 47% of Americans are obese. New study comes out today from the American Counting Association that 22% of Americans are in debt by more than $10,000. That's a great story because the local newsrooms are going to piggyback on that story, that national story, because they want to include national news in their newscasts. It's just simply how it works. And the more you educate yourself about how newsrooms work, the easier and easier it gets. It just gets so easy. Because you increase knowledge, you lower your fear. Increase knowledge, lower your fear. And that's why you keep seeing the same people over and over, like the same financial folks, the same lawyers, the same people on your local news, is because they learned how to do it, they got really good, and the media trusts them. And sometimes they're saying really stupid stuff, right? They're saying stupid stuff. I've seen financial planners say, even I know that's wrong, or a financial advisor say something. I'm like, I even know that's wrong. See, but the game is the newsroom has this basket of apples that they're picking stories from because the bulk of what makes it on the air is pitched. So they've got the same people pitching the same stories over and over and over. And so they got this basket of apples. What I teach as a trainer is, okay, get your orange, get your kumquat, get your grapefruit, and throw it in the basket because they don't even know it exists. And that becomes a game because you pitch, you get covered. It's just, it's really that simple. You pitch, you get covered.
If I'm calling to pitch a newsroom, who do I actually call and how do I actually do this?
Well, you know, there's lots of pieces to it, and I have lots of tools because there's a lot of deep minutiae around it. But the bottom line is when you call a newsroom and you get the main, you know, like we have media guides, we have the how to get into each of the newsroom because it's a journey when you get online and try to find it. Calling the newsroom, calling between 7 and 8:30 in the morning, you're typically going to get the assignment manager, the assignment editor. She's someone that I call the queen bee or he, and they're usually getting ready, prep for the day for the 9 o'clock meeting. That's going to happen pretty much all over the world, across Europe and also across Canada. And that's a great person. It's a big gatekeeper to get. So typically when that first question, you say, hey, you got a quick second for a pitch, they, if it's the wrong person, they might say, hang on, let me get you the assignment editor. Once you get the real person, the first thing you want to do is you want to piggyback off a story and always talk in threes. Our brain grasps in threes. Saw the story today on 20% of Americans are lowering their debt. They're doing really, really well. I've got three things right now that can help families get in that 20% and really lower their debt. I'm just making this up as we
right.
go, but you get what I'm saying?
That's right.
And the assignment editor might say, great, you got a press release? And your answer is yes. What is your email? And then you're simply going to send them an email within the body of your email. Great to talk to you. Pitching the story about 20% of people, whatever I said. Yeah, sorry, I'm just making it up, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And here are three things that families can do right now to lower their debt or whatever. Look forward to talking to you, and good luck on your story today. And then here's my cell phone number.
Great.
And it's a formula. It's rhythmic. It fits into what newsrooms are looking for. And the biggest thing I like to say about news media is once you know all the rules, that you know to talk in three sentences or 12 to 14 second sound bites, once you know all the rules, and there's a lot of them, once you know them and you're charismatic, you can break every frickin' rule in a powerful, powerful way.
So, Sean, when I met you and heard you speak, you were speaking on networking. That was your
mm-hmm.
that was your topic that day. And so the basic premise of this sounds like it all stems from how you network. Can you share a little bit with us about that?
Absolutely. And the reason I do teach networking, because I go to a lot of corporations and teach communication leadership, my ulterior goal is to teach mostly in the diverse community how to approach communication organizations so they can actually be on camera, so companies can quit saying they're diverse, they can start being diverse. But a lot of the folks, you know, most of the people I media train are white men in their 60s. And so in order to reach that talent pool, I started teaching networking because it's the same skill set that you work with reporters. There's a basic skill that I teach that's called the cycle of reciprocity. It's a giving and receiving that happens in relationship. It happens in mentorship. It happens when you're at networking events. And the only thing that stops it is fear. You catch your breath, you quit talking. It's this give and take that happens, this brrr that goes back and forth. And it's a little bit different in the dynamic of this conversation because we've got a radio interview and my cycle is a little bit longer than your interjection. But if you and I were like girlfriends out at lunch, we'd just be going back and forth. Brrr, 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 brrr. You know what I mean, girlfriend? Right? And it's the same premise that happens in networking events when you create that relationship. A zing happens between you. It happens when you find the love of your life. You could talk for 9 hours and you don't even know where the time went. And the same thing happens exquisitely in a TV or radio interview, that a sing-song seesaw goes back and forth between you and a reporter. So the flow is so natural, so charismatic, so exquisite that someone in the kitchen peeling carrots and they barely hear your voice on the TV in the living room will turn and drop everything they're doing just to go see who is that person that's alive and charismatic. I don't know what they're talking about, and I want to know who they are because people respond to authenticity, charisma, and authentic information that really makes a difference.
That reminds me, that story reminds me of the first night we had dinner together. That's how fun it was having that conversation with you. You absolutely walk your talk.
Oh, I so remember. and my husband fell in love with you. I mean, we had a nice little brrr going on with me, you and my husband. It was very, very cool.
So after the interview, let's say that an advisor is on a TV interview, what should they do? What type of follow-up, if any, should happen?
Oh, food is good. Let me just say it. Food, 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 food is good. See, this is a romance, and I just want to make a real big distinction between broadcast and print. Broadcast and print are really, really different. Once you deeply know the rules, you can break them all, and a lot of folks don't know these deep, deep rules. You go on TV and radio, they're very synonymous. When you come on the radio station, you bring bagels for everybody, a big old swatch of bagels in a big old box, bring 50 of them. After you're on a newsroom interview, whether it's live on the set or they came to your office, you send a big basket, the bigger, the better. See, because what's going to happen in terms of word of mouth, first of all, newsrooms and broadcast, they really struggle getting food. The newsrooms, lot less people in the newsrooms. They are doing lots of stories in one day. A lot of times they're in the vending machine just getting crackers, right? Or they're stopping really quick. And to get food in the newsroom is like the biggest, awesomest thing, okay? In broadcast, we do not see that as bribe. We see that as lovingly loving us up in a romantic relationship, in fostering loyalty and making a difference for us, too, because we work so hard. Print is a very different game. Do not do that for print till you really, really know the media world. Print reporters would get very offended by that. TV people would not, because what they do is they bring it, we're party people, we bring it in the middle of the newsroom, we share it with everybody, the bigger the better, the more the merrier, because all the gossip that gets generated is, oh, Susie, where'd you get that? Oh my gosh, I got it from Joe, the financial advisor guy. Oh yeah, I saw him, actually, he did pretty good. You know, I'm looking at doing a piece just on a business owner, on blah, blah, blah. Do you think he might be a fit for that? And Susie says, you know, he really might be. Let me get you his number out of my Rolodex. And what happens is when you're good on camera, when you're responsive, when you know how newsrooms operate and you respond to media very quickly, they pass you around.
Great. So is there if we've got developing a relationship with someone in print, what would be the follow-up with them?
It depends on how deeply you create the relationship. A lot of times what I will do is I will send a handwritten note with my business card. I never ask them when it's going to air. I do that follow-up with my office or my assistants because a lot of times they might be told it's going to run on such and such date and it doesn't, and your questions can feel intrusive if I don't have a deep, deep relationship with you. Usually I create the deep relationships with the print reporter that they're sending it to me because I know I'm going to just blast it out in social media and make them look like a rock star. So don't break the rules until you know them. You know, make sure you're loving them up and you got a great relationship before you start asking some of those questions. And I would send that handwritten note. I would send them an email letting them know or tagging them in my social media that I'm just promoting the heck out of them. And depending on how well I know that print reporter, I might put a $5 Starbucks card in there. And I would preface it with, I just wanted to buy you a coffee. I thank you so much. This is, or it might be $2.50. You know, sometimes I put $5 because I don't think you can get a cup of coffee for less than $5 at Starbucks.
At a Starbucks?
Yeah. You know what I mean? So I will even say it's a sometimes I've sent $3 gift cards. Just to let them know, I simply want to buy them a cup of coffee as a gesture, and that's it.
Great. Good.
But then if I deepen that relationship, who knows, when I come into the newsroom, if they're using me for a panel or whatever, I might bring a whole big thing of bagels or whatever, depending on that relationship. It's much more conscientious and strategic with print than it is with TV and radio. TV and radio, more the merrier. Bring it on, baby.
Good, good. So anything else that you're just dying to share with us that I haven't asked you about that you think would be important for advisors to know?
I'd say two things. First of all, get trained. You can't wing this. You just can't. You can't wing it. You can't wing it. And when you get trained and your discomfort or your fear level is so low, Ellen, it is a frickin' riot. It is a riot. And when you watch the momentum being built as you get better at it, because it usually takes like 3 or 4 tries for when someone's on camera to really start rocking. Because I got clients now going on Dr. Oz, going on Dr. Phil. One gal, she's an organizer. She's on national programs all through Canada now. And just for having that little spark that, like, you know, I really could do this. And you really, when you get trained really well on charisma and being present and authentic, the sky's the limit. And it really is a riot. It really is.
So I'm going to just interject here that I am signed up for your media training. It's in August, right? Can you just share a little bit about the details of that? And for the listeners, I signed up because I know I've been on TV several times, and I was so nervous, and I do a lot of speaking, and I really realized I want to do more, and I need to get trained, and Sean rocks at this. So I'm spending a few days with her in August at her workshop to get media trained. So maybe you can just briefly tell us a little bit about the workshop and how someone could find out more about you and how they might sign up.
Oh, sure. I used to do boot camp a couple times a year, once in Canada. Now I do it once a year here in the U.S. because I'm that awesomely busy. You know, gosh, I'm speaking in Greece. I'm speaking in Finland. I'm going to London. I mean, it's pretty – I know you know this drill, Ellen, when really cool things start to happen, especially with Project Forgive. So I'm only doing one a year now, and it's August 22nd and 23rd. It does fill up. I'm not full yet. It is a two-day workshop. And it is the most hands-on, laughable, fun experience you'll ever have. You'll have pretty major breakthroughs in fear, because that's all I do is dance in discomfort and fear. And I really have fear as like a fart. If you can stand the smell long enough and you can be with it, pretty soon you have a capacity to be with very, very uncomfortable things that pretty soon are not even uncomfortable at all. You just get so comfortable in your skin. I do spend a little bit of time on crisis, but most companies will not deal with the crisis. And it's so silly that most media training focuses on crisis. Oh, my gosh, shoot me, Ned. 99% of what I talk about and train is in how to be comfortable in your skin, generate amazing stories, give tips and advice that people really, really need. And it's usually high-end business owners, speakers and trainers. I attract a lot of speakers and trainers. The networking alone is pretty much worth the stop. It's that pretty exquisite. And the best way to sign up is MediaMasteryBootcamp.com. MediaMasteryBootcamp.com, that's how you get to bootcamp.
Great. And if people want to learn more about you, your speaking, some of your other, I know I have many of Sean's tapes that really got me thinking about some tips that I didn't know, and got me really excited about different ways that I can work with the media, get more PR. Are those available on your website,
Sean? They sure are, and it's Sean TV. And I always say Shawnee because, like, my mom and my sister call me Shawnee, my husband. Shawnee, SHAWNETV.com.
Great. And you can sign up for your newsletter there as well.
Yeah. Yep.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yep, and just start, you know, even link in with me. I love linking in. LinkedIn is my favorite.
Terrific. So thank you so much. This was such great information, so many good tips. I know for me personally, got me really excited about some stories that I can pitch and articles and blogs that I can write. So thank you very much. And again, for the listeners, if you want to find out more about Sean, you can go to Sean with an E, SHAWNETV.com. And if you think that you want more media training, go to MediaMasteryBootcamp.com. So, Sean, again, thank you so much. And I am Ellen Rogan. If you want more prosperity and success tips, you will find them on my website, which is EllenRogan.com. And until next time, the question to ponder is, how big of a positive impact are you willing to make? I'm wishing you success in every area of your life. Remember, be great and create great every single day.
This Horse's Mouth presentation is offered specifically for financial advisors and may not be reproduced, broadcast, or distributed without permission from Horse's Mouth. Unauthorized use, reproduction, or distribution of this material is a violation of federal law and punishable by civil and criminal penalty.
Hello, everyone. This is Ellen Rogan, your host of today's edition of Horse's Mouth Advisor Radio. I am here to interview guests who have great information to help you be more successful in every area of your life, especially your business. Today, my guest is Sean Duperin, and I am so excited to have Sean here. We met last fall at a conference where we both spoke, and she was dynamite. The audience just absolutely loved her. She's an amazing resource for us for marketing, PR, networking, media training. We're going to cover a bunch of topics today. Before we get started, I just want to give you a little bit about Sean's background. She's a six-time Emmy Award-winning media coach and has been in the TV business for nearly 20 years. She's taught thousands how to communicate as leaders while networking and marketing in social and traditional media. Sean works with corporations, entrepreneurs, universities, and government agencies across the globe. She's collaborated with many best-selling authors and has replaced Bill Ford of Ford Motor Company when she spoke at the Department of Defense and even lectures on cruise ships. She's interviewed many U.S. presidents and has filmed hundreds of celebrities. You may have seen her on national networks such as CNN, CBS's Early Show, and seen her feature in Inc. magazine and USA Today. One of her personal passions is the work that she does with multicultural groups to help delete media stereotypes through communication leadership. And she spearheaded the movement on global forgiveness with an effort called Project Forgive. It's a little five-minute video that went viral on YouTube, Sean is currently a PhD candidate creating leading-edge research on relationships between mass media and, ready for this, gossip. Yes, gossip. She says knowing how to create and navigate communication skills as a leader is the secret to unlimited marketing and personal power. Sean, welcome. I'm so glad to have you here.
Well, I'm so tickled to be here, Ellen. I want to know that woman you just talked about.
She's pretty awesome. Yeah, she's great. I'm so excited about our conversation today because I know you have so much information that will be so helpful to the advisors listening in.
But can I just brag on you? Can I brag on you? Can I?
Sure.
You know, because you did mention that we met at a conference, and I think it was in Indiana. Where did we meet?
Yeah, we were in Maryville.
Yeah. And you talked about, like, you just so gravitated toward me. I had the exact reaction to you. Your no-nonsense, clean way of approaching money, and you talked about it so powerfully, you know, I knew we were going to be friends for life. So I just want to say that attraction was very mutual, very mutual with
you. You are so sweet, Sean. Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So I have a bunch of questions for you, but before we dive in, your background is so incredibly diverse. Can you tell us a little bit more about you and how the heck that you do all this and how you got into all the things that you're involved in?
Oh, how about I'll give it to you in a nutshell, all that.
Okay.
All right, I worked in news for a long time. My background is working at ABC, NBC. I pretty much worked in news for about 11 years. I've been in TV and film for a good 20. And I went into the speaking realm because what I saw is I saw these people would call up with these amazing stories, like business owners, financial planners too, would call up with these amazing stories, and they'd never make it on the air. And the reason they wouldn't make it on the air is because they didn't know how to pitch. And think about it this way. If you call up the newsroom and you want to pitch a story maybe about budgeting for school clothes, okay, if you're very, very nervous on the phone and your phone shakes and you don't know how to do it, you are never going to make it past the phone call, because if you're nervous on the phone, you are certainly getting nervous on camera. So it really became a passion of mine to show people how to do this because it's really, really easy. It's very easy to do when you know how to do it.
Oh, great. Good. So I know that you like to create a distinction for advisors on the difference between paid advertising and free publicity. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, because a lot of times a financial advisor thinks it's all about getting a paid ad. And everything that I teach, there's value to paid advertisement, hands down. There's great value to it, especially postcards are actually a really good thing to be doing right now if that's one of the spokes of your marketing. And where I go with these interviews, with working with the media, is free publicity. There's no money exchanged. This is about creating relationships with reporters, producers, anchors, influential bloggers, influential folks in print, to give them information that helps feed their viewership. So you're making a difference for audiences, and you're doing it through the media by giving valuable, valuable information that people want. And it really is free. There's a time investment, obviously, and it's a conversation of free, really.
Now, isn't it also... In terms of the impact, I mean, I think that people, I know for myself, when I read something in print, I assume it has a little bit more credibility. Isn't there like an implied testimonial, if you will, behind having someone on TV or in a print, in an article quoted?
Absolutely. You know, there's lots of research on this. It depends on, like, if I were a financial advisor, I would be very focused on getting in my local newspaper, because the demographics show the primary folks that are reading newspapers are between 55 and 60-year-old white male with high disposable incomes. I mean, there's demographics to where folks are. Now, if you are a financial advisor and you want to really reach that women power demographic, you know, studies say up to, 94% of what's purchased in homes comes from the wife or the mother, then I'd be going on TV at specific channels and actually generating it through Facebook, leveraging it through Facebook, because the demographic of women are on Facebook. So if they miss it on TV, they're going to get it, you know, on Facebook. And here's the thing, too, though. An advertisement, this is what the recent stats say. One advertisement, at least in the Detroit, Michigan area where I'm from, is worth about $6,500, okay? When you get in the news media, you triple it. The stats actually triple, because one story that's going to air on the 5 o'clock news, it's going to also air on the 5:30 and the 6. It's going to air at the 11. It's going to air the following morning in the early morning show, and it's going to air at the 9 a.m. show, and then it's going to air on the noon, because all businesses want to get the biggest bang for their buck. And TV newsrooms in particular, they want to get the biggest bang for their buck, too. So when they come interview you about budgeting or how to get through your tag, you know, what are some neat things about taxes that can help you as you're planning financially, you're going to make it on all these newscasts.
That's great. I know when I first started my career, I wrote for the local paper here every month for years, and it brought notoriety to me and direct business. And the funny thing now is I haven't written for them in probably 5 or 6 years, and I'll still have people coming up to me saying, oh, I read your articles all the time.
Yeah.
So it was
That's
incredibly
fun.
Influential.
Yeah.
And you know, I didn't have to pay for it. I didn't get paid, but boy, did I get great PR from that.
Oh, for sure. And I write an article right now for the Detroit News and the Detroit Free Press. Oh, my gosh, the leverage with that is just, there's no words for it. There's no words for it. And I'm even incorporating it now into my blog. My actual article that comes out goes right into my blog now. It's everything can be leveraged in very, very powerful ways to create that energy around you, that gossip or that word of mouth. Because people do business with people they like, especially when it comes to money. Money is a tough one, Ellen. You know this. We have so much, like if I meet you at a networking event, I've got all my junk around money, all my shame, upset, what I've done right, what I haven't done right. Am I a spender? Am I a saver? I've got all my stuff about money that gets in between me working with someone that I might meet as a potential financial advisor. And when you can clear that out and clean that out and offer really cool advice as an authority in the media, you actually break down those barriers that people really start to trust you. And the game is you have to be trustworthy.
Right.
You have to be that. That's who you are authentically. And so if you're not authentically and honest, kind, really committed to helping people break through around money issues, you're not going to attract people anyway, whether it's in the media or not, right?
I just want to add here for any of the advisors listening that in the back of their mind saying, yeah, but my compliance department is so difficult around social media or writing articles, I would just say that put that aside. Of course you will deal with them, but it's not as hard as you think. And at least my experience has been that most of the time they really want to help you grow your business. It might not feel like that. So please don't use that as an excuse for any of the advice that Sean's giving us, which is awesome advice about getting your name out there. They will, your compliance department will be happy to work with you. You just have to have a conversation with them about how to navigate, whether it's traditional media or social media.
Yeah, and great point, Ellen, and it's very, very, very simple. The advice you're giving is very, very simple. It's kind of ironic that people are craving simple advice. From how to budget to get to for your taxes for an entire year. There, you know, it might not be your expertise, you listening right this second, but you might have expertise around that. And there might be some more generic information that people are craving that you could provide that would not, you know, put you subjective to having issues with law and, you know, all those issues that
exactly.
pop up.
Exactly. Yeah. Good. So in your bio, I mentioned that you're getting a PhD, or you have a PhD in gossip. What's the link with all this?
Yeah, you know, it's so funny. It is the most challenging and the most exciting thing I've ever done. And I am almost done with my PhD. God, get me through this. That's my prayer and mantra, because it certainly has been a journey. And really what I look at is I look at good gossip or word of mouth, because most people think that gossip is mean and nasty and malicious, right? When you hear gossip, you think mean and nasty, right, Ellen?
Right. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And research resoundingly shows that mean, nasty stuff is only about 5 to 7%. We're actually really good people. And the word gossip comes from the word gossip, meaning close to God. How cool is that? And what would happen, like in the 9th, 10th, 11th centuries, the doulas would deliver babies and spread the precious news that a precious child of God was born. The reason for sharing this is that gossip or word of mouth is the best kind of advertising that exists on the planet. And a momentum gets built around gossip or word of mouth around you as a financial advisor that has people flock to you. And we did use these concepts of gossip research, because that's my expertise, to have this movie that we did. We did a 5-minute video. We're making a movie right now. And we made this video go viral without YouTube, utilizing powerful, authentic marketing, emotional tidbits that really tap into people's authentic selves, both spiritually, emotionally, and intellectually. And, I mean, it's been miraculous what we've been creating through this realm of making things go viral.
Yeah, most advisors I know like to grow their business, or they do grow their business through referrals, and really...
Yeah.
With your definition of gossip, I mean, that's so ideal to have people talking well about you behind your back, right? And to help us build our business, it makes so much sense.
Absolutely, and that's exactly what a referral is, a resounding exclamation that this person rocks, you can work with them, you can trust them.
Right.
That is the epitome of good gossip.
Great, great. So what do you think we're missing when it comes to working with the media?
You know, besides high levels of discomfort, because a lot of times when people connect with the media, you're weird, okay? You've got all this weird, you get this discomfort going on because we got fear of the media, right? We got the fear going on. And if we don't know how to do it, we sound really strange, and then the media avoid us like the plague. So it's kind of like a one-shot deal. You don't just call up and all of a sudden just wing it and try to get it on, to get coverage, because they'll remember you. It's a very, very small network. So the biggest thing to remember is that the biggest mistake, too, is that financial advisors tend to think it's all about them. They've got a new book. They're opening up a new building. There's a certain way you need to do your money. That's not how it works. It's like dating. Like let's say you go out with the hot girl. Can I go this route here with you, Ellen?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Let's say you're going on a hot date with the gal at the restaurant, and if all you do is talk about how amazing you are and the book that you wrote and all your tips and advice, you are not going on a second date, right? That's simply how the media works as well. Media are relationships. It's not something to get in and get out and get over with. It's long-term, deep relationships. So the media can keep coming back to you over and over and over and over again as a beautiful resource in an exquisite relationship. And how you start is you start by piggybacking, and that's a big term we use in media. You piggyback off the stories that people are currently talking about right now. And you offer advice as an offering to the media, as, you know, you might be doing a story on taxes right now. We're approaching tax season or just getting through tax season. You might be doing a story on taxes. I got 3 tips that will deeply help people lower stress in getting ready for these deadlines when they're looking at these numbers. That would be a story that the newsroom would be considering right now or in that tax frame time zone. Another great one is, gosh, we're in spring cleaning with spring. Spring cleaning your finances. You know, I got 3 tips to spring. Let's even just focus on your computer and getting your budget in order. Here's 3 things you can do to make it so fast and efficient for you as you work with your financial advisor. The mistake that a lot of – can I keep going for a second?
Yeah,
I'm talking
please,
too much.
Please,
okay.
Great.
So, like, one of the mistakes that could happen is you want to give them all this advice – and really, they just want 3 easy things. And then you think, oh, it's got to be me they got to hire. Just think for a second if you're a photographer and you're pitching how to take great wedding pictures. Like, let's say you can't hire a photographer. You don't have the money, so you're taking your own personal wedding photos. When you go on the news as a professional saying, okay, you don't have any money, you're doing it on a budget, you're taking your own photos, here are the 7 photos you must get. When you give those folks templates about what you're doing, maybe the ones that are going to use your tips won't hire you, and other folks that hire photographers are watching you and your generosity and your expertise and your skill set in showing people. That's what inspires people to want to work with people, is when you give information, your knowledge, that really makes a difference. Aren't you personally inspired when you see that?
Oh, yeah. Just so you know, I'm taking so many notes on new article ideas. Just
oh, good. Yeah. You're welcome.
And it also reminded me, when you were talking about developing the relationships with the media, it's just like when we're developing relationships with what we call centers of influence. These are attorneys or accountants that have lots of opportunity to refer to us.
Yeah.
It's not a one and done, right? If we want them to be referral sources for years and years, then we have to really build that relationship. And what I'm hearing you say is it's pretty much the same with working with the media. There's really no difference.
There is no difference, zero difference. And most people don't know that, Ellen. That's the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's so funny, when you start creating relationships with media, these people become your dear friends. Mm-hmm. And then someone say, oh, my gosh, I see this guy on TV. He's a jerk. Well, don't pursue the jerk. Ew. There's always a jerk, right? Don't pursue that one. Yuck. I don't pursue jerks in the media or to buy my car or to get my financial advisor or even to pursue a husband. I don't pursue jerks, right?
So tell me – tell us a little bit, when we're romancing the media or creating these deep relationships, how do we even get started?
All right, here's a good one. Like, this is like a no-brainer. When you call the newsroom and you have a story to pitch that day, the first thing that comes out of your mouth when someone answers the phone live is you ask them for permission to talk. It's not a bowing down. It's not an arrogance. It's really letting them know that you're taking the L off your forehead, which is loser, okay? Newsrooms are really, really busy. The phone rings constantly. And so many people call the newsroom with very odd requests that don't know what they're doing. When someone calls up and the first thing that comes out of their mouth and they say, do you have a quick second for a story pitch? My ears burn. I turn to them and I say, yeah, what do you got? Because I want stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I want people that know what they're doing to give me stories. So that is one of the most significant things you can do. And what I would tell financial folks who are listening, make this a game to do it once every 2 weeks. Pick a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. Newsrooms love stats. On Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, national stats come out all the time. In USA Today, or, you know, I don't know if you have a Canadian following, in the CBC, all kinds of studies come out on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And newsrooms love to piggyback off those stats. So maybe let's look at an obesity one. New study comes out today in USA Today that 47% of Americans are obese. New study comes out today from the American Counting Association that 22% of Americans are in debt by more than $10,000. That's a great story because the local newsrooms are going to piggyback on that story, that national story, because they want to include national news in their newscasts. It's just simply how it works. And the more you educate yourself about how newsrooms work, the easier and easier it gets. It just gets so easy. Because you increase knowledge, you lower your fear. Increase knowledge, lower your fear. And that's why you keep seeing the same people over and over, like the same financial folks, the same lawyers, the same people on your local news, is because they learned how to do it, they got really good, and the media trusts them. And sometimes they're saying really stupid stuff, right? They're saying stupid stuff. I've seen financial planners say, even I know that's wrong, or a financial advisor say something. I'm like, I even know that's wrong. See, but the game is the newsroom has this basket of apples that they're picking stories from because the bulk of what makes it on the air is pitched. So they've got the same people pitching the same stories over and over and over. And so they got this basket of apples. What I teach as a trainer is, okay, get your orange, get your kumquat, get your grapefruit, and throw it in the basket because they don't even know it exists. And that becomes the game because you pitch, you get covered. It's really that simple. You pitch, you get covered.
If I'm calling to pitch a newsroom, who do I actually call and how do I actually do this?
Well, you know, there's lots of pieces to it and I have lots of tools because there's a lot of deep minutiae around it. But the bottom line is when you call a newsroom and you get the main, you know, like we have media guides, we have the how to get into each of the newsroom because it's a journey when you get online and try to find it. Calling the newsroom, calling between 7 and 8:30 in the morning, you're typically going to get the assignment manager, the assignment editor. She's someone that I call the queen bee or he, and they're usually getting ready, prep for the day for the 9 o'clock meeting. That's going to happen pretty much all over the world, across Europe and also across Canada. And that's a great person. It's a big gatekeeper to get. So typically when that first question, you say, hey, you got a quick second for a pitch, if it's the wrong person, they might say, hang on, let me get you the assignment editor. Once you get the real person, the first thing you want to do is you want to piggyback off a story and always talk in threes. Our brain grasps in threes. Saw the story today on 20% of Americans are lowering their debt. They're doing really, really well. I've got three things right now that can help families get in that 20% and really lower their debt. I'm just making this up as we
right.
go, but you get what I'm saying?
That's great.
And the assignment editor might say, great, you got a press release? And your answer is yes. What is your email? And then you're simply going to send them an email within the body of your email. Great to talk to you. Pitching the story about 20% of people, whatever I said. Yeah, sorry, I'm just making it up, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And here are three things that families can do right now to lower their debt or whatever. Look forward to talking to you, and good luck on your story today. And then here's my cell phone number.
Great.
And it's a formula. It's rhythmic. It fits into what newsrooms are looking for. And the biggest thing I like to say about news media is once you know all the rules, that you know to talk in three sentences or 12 to 14 second sound bites, once you know all the rules, and there's a lot of them, once you know them and you're charismatic, you can break every frickin' rule in a powerful, powerful way.
So, Sean, when I met you and heard you speak, you were speaking on networking. That was your topic that day. And so the basic premise of this sounds like it all stems from how you network. Can you share a little bit with us about that?
Absolutely. And the reason I do teach networking, because I go to a lot of corporations and teach communication leadership, my ulterior goal is to teach mostly in the diverse community how to approach communication organizations so they can actually be on camera, so companies can quit saying they're diverse, they can start being diverse. But a lot of the folks, you know, most of the people I media train are white men in their 60s. And so in order to reach that talent pool, I started teaching networking because it's the same skill set that you work with reporters. There's a basic skill that I teach that's called the cycle of reciprocity. It's a giving and receiving that happens in relationship. It happens in mentorship. It happens when you're at networking events. And the only thing that stops it is fear. You catch your breath, you quit talking. It's this give and take that happens, this brrr that goes back and forth. And it's a little bit different in the dynamic of this conversation because we've got a radio interview and my cycle is a little bit longer than your interjection. But if you and I were like girlfriends out at lunch, we'd just be going back and forth. Brrr, 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 brrr. You know what I mean, girlfriend?
Mm-hmm.
right? And it's the same premise that happens in networking events when you create that relationship. A zing happens between you. It happens when you find the love of your life. You could talk for 9 hours, and you don't even know where the time went. And the same thing happens exquisitely in a TV or radio interview, that a sing-song seesaw goes back and forth between you and a reporter. So the flow is so natural, so charismatic, so exquisite that someone in the kitchen peeling carrots and they barely hear your voice on the TV in the living room will turn and drop everything they're doing just to go see who is that person that's alive and charismatic. I don't know what they're talking about, and I want to know who they are, because people respond to authenticity, charisma, and authentic information that really makes a difference.
That reminds me, that story reminds me of the first night we had dinner together. That's how fun it was having that conversation with you. You absolutely walk your talk.
Oh, I so remember. And my husband fell in love with you. I mean, we had a nice little brrrr going on between you and my husband. It was very, very cool.
So after the interview, let's say that an advisor is on a TV interview.
Yep.
What should they do? What type of follow-up, if any, should happen?
Oh, food is good. Let me just say it. Food is good. See, this is a romance. And I just want to make a real big distinction between broadcast and print. Broadcast and print are really, really different. Once you deeply know the rules, you can break them all. And a lot of folks don't know these deep, deep rules. You go on TV and radio, they're very synonymous. When you come on the radio station, you bring bagels for everybody, a big old swatch of bagels in a big old box, bring 50 of them. After you're on a newsroom interview, whether it's live on the set or they came to your office, you send a big basket, the bigger, the better. See, because what's going to happen in terms of word of mouth, first of all, newsrooms and broadcast, they really struggle getting food. The newsrooms, lot less people in the newsrooms. They are doing lots of stories in one day. A lot of times they're in the vending machine just getting crackers, right? Or they're stopping really quick. And to get food in the newsroom is like the biggest, awesomest thing, okay? In broadcast, we do not see that as bribe. We see that as lovingly loving us up in a romantic relationship, in fostering loyalty and making a difference for us, too, because we work so hard. Print is a very different game. Do not do that for print till you really, really know the media world. Print reporters would get very offended by that. TV people would not, because what they do is they bring it, we're party people, we bring it in the middle of the newsroom, we share it with everybody, the bigger the better, the more the merrier, because all the gossip that gets generated is, oh, Susie, where'd you get that? Oh, my gosh, I got it from Joe, the financial advisor guy. Oh, yeah, I saw him. Actually, he did pretty good. You know, I'm looking at doing a piece just on a business owner on blah, blah, blah. Do you think he might be a fit for that? And Susie says, you know, he really might be. Let me get you his number out of my Rolodex. And what happens is when you're good on camera, when you're responsive, when you know how newsrooms operate and you respond to media very quickly, they pass you around.
Great. So is there if we've got developing a relationship with someone in print, what would be the follow-up with that?
It depends on how deeply you create the relationship. A lot of times what I will do is I will send a handwritten note with my business card. I never ask them when it's going to air. I do that follow-up with my office or my assistants because a lot of times they might be told it's going to run on such and such date, and it doesn't. And your questions can feel intrusive if I don't have a deep, deep relationship with you.
Yeah.
Usually I create the deep relationships with the print reporter that they're sending it to me because I know I'm going to just blast it out in social media and make them look like a rock star. So don't break the rules until you know them. You know, make sure you're loving them up and you got a great relationship before you start asking some of those questions. And I would send that handwritten note. I would send them an email letting them know or tagging them in my social media that I'm just promoting the heck out of them. And depending on how well I know that print reporter, I might put a $5 Starbucks card in there. And I would preface it with, I just wanted to buy you a coffee. I thank you so much. Or it might be $2.50. You know, sometimes I put $5 because I don't think you can get a cup of coffee for less than $5 at Starbucks.
At a Starbucks.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So I will even say it's a sometimes I've sent $3 gift cards. Just to let him know, I simply want to buy him a cup of coffee as a gesture, and that's it.
Great.
Good.
But then if I deepen that relationship, who knows, when I come into the newsroom, if they're using me for a panel or whatever, I might bring a whole big thing of bagels or whatever, depending on that relationship. It's much more conscientious and strategic with print than it is with TV and radio. TV and radio, more the merrier. Bring it on, baby.
Good, good. So anything else that you're just dying to share with us that I haven't asked you about that you think would be important for advisors to know?
I'd say two things. First of all, get trained. You can't wing this. You just can't. You can't wing it. You can't wing it. And when you get trained and your discomfort or your fear level is so low, Ellen, it is a frickin' riot. It is a riot. And when you watch the momentum being built as you get better at it, because usually it takes like 3 or 4 tries for when someone's on camera to really start rocking, because I got clients now going on Dr. Oz, going on Dr. Phil. One gal, she's an organizer. She's on national programs all through Canada now. And just for having that little spark that, like, you know, I really could do this. And you really, when you get trained really well on charisma and being present and authentic, the sky's the limit. And it really is a riot. It really is.
So I'm going to just interject here that I am signed up for your media training in August, right? Can you just share a little bit about the details of that? And for the listeners, I signed up because I know I've been on TV several times, and I was so nervous, and I do a lot of speaking, and I really realize I want to do more, and I need to get trained, and Sean rocks at this. So I'm spending a few days with her in August at her workshop to get media trained. So maybe you can just briefly tell us a little bit about the workshop and how someone could find out more about you and how they might sign up.
Oh, sure. I used to do boot camp a couple times a year, once in Canada. Now I do it once a year here in the U.S. because I'm that awesomely busy. You know, gosh, I'm speaking in Greece. I'm speaking in Finland. I'm going to London. I mean, it's pretty – I know you know this drill, Ellen, when really cool things start to happen, especially with Project Forgive. So I'm only doing one a year now, and it's August 22nd and 23rd. It does fill up. I'm not full yet. It is a 2-day workshop. And it is the most hands-on, laughable, fun experience you'll ever have. You'll have pretty major breakthroughs in fear, because that's all I do is dance in discomfort and fear. And I really have fear as like a fart. If you can stand the smell long enough and you can be with it, pretty soon you have a capacity to be with very, very uncomfortable things that pretty soon are not even uncomfortable at all. You just get so comfortable in your skin. I do spend a little bit of time on crisis, but most companies will not deal with the crisis. And it's so silly that most media training focuses on crisis. Oh, my gosh, shoot me, Ned. 99% of what I talk about and train is in how to be comfortable in your skin, generate amazing stories, give tips and advice that people really, really need. And it's usually high-end business owners, speakers and trainers. I attract a lot of speakers and trainers. The networking alone is pretty much worth the stop. It's that pretty exquisite. And the best way to sign up is MediaMasteryBootcamp.com. MediaMasteryBootcamp.com, that's how you get to bootcamp.
Great. And if people want to learn more about you, your speaking, some of your other, I know I have many of Sean's tapes that really got me thinking about some tips that I didn't know, and got me really excited about different ways that I can work with the media, get more PR. Are those available on your website,
Sean? They sure are, and it's Sean TV. And I always say Shawnee because, like, my mom and my sister call me Shawnee, my husband. Shawnee, SHAWNETV.com.
Great. And you can sign up for your newsletter there as well.
Yeah. Yep.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yep, and start, you know, even link in with me. I love linking in. LinkedIn is my favorite.
Terrific. So thank you so much. This was such great information, so many good tips. I know for me personally, got me really excited about some stories that I can pitch and articles and blogs that I can write. So thank you very much. And again, for the listeners, if you want to find out more about Sean, you can go to Sean with an E, SHAWNETV.com. And if you think that you want more media training, go to MediaMasteryBootcamp.com. So, Sean, again, thank you so much. And I am Ellen Rogan. If you want more prosperity and success tips, you will find them on my website, which is EllenRogan.com. And until next time, the question to ponder is, how big of a positive impact are you willing to make? I'm wishing you success in every area of your life. Remember, be great and create great every single day.
This Horse's Mouth presentation is offered specifically for financial advisors and may not be reproduced, broadcast, or distributed without permission from Horse's Mouth. Unauthorized use, reproduction, or distribution of this material is a violation of federal law and punishable by civil and criminal penalties.